today on It's Time.
God is always faithful. God is bigger than the things you've done wrong, and he's bigger than the things that mean people want to do to you. Remember that.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time for these wounds to heal.
Genesis 31. And we've been going through this book, and Jesus said, "Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, but they are which testify of me." So when we really look at what the Bible says in the Old Testament, find Jesus, and you'll find him on every page. That's one of the great things about God, is because he transcends all time. Revelation chapter 22 says, Jesus said, "I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and the last." He's already been here. He already knows. You see, the thing is, God already knows the decisions we make. And I like that. We're predestined from God's perspective. But from our perspective, this is why Jesus said, "Preach the gospel to every creature." And that's why we do that. So this morning, as we go through, continuing our study, looking at the life of Jacob. Now, Jacob is, in a way, a Christ type in the Bible, because we remember, again, how God used him so amazingly. We're going to see that Christ type again show up here in chapter 31. Now, Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, "Jacob has taken away all of our father's, and from what was ours, our father has acquired all this wealth." Now, Laban's other sons going around saying, "Jacob has taken everything that's ours." Now, the truth of the matter is, that was a lie. But this wasn't spoken out of concern. It was spoken out of envy. Now, by the way, friends, envy is a problem that we all have to work. The Bible says Jesus, was in the book of Matthew, was actually crucified because of the envy of the religious leaders. Envy will cause people to do things that normally they would never do. Envy causes that jealousy that causes irrational behavior in our lives. And so we have to be careful of that. Now remember, God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. I like that. So anything that I need, God's going to give me. I don't have to envy what somebody else has, because I know that God's going to give me what I need. Now, one of the things that we come to when we come to Christ, no longer I that live, but Christ who lives within me. Now, one of the things, again, remembering that, we have to always realize God gives you your daily needs. Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread." So we can always trust him for that. Somebody said one time, "Well, you need to learn how to envy somebody Christian-like." What? Yeah, you just say, "Boy, I sure like his car. I wish I had his car, and I hope he gets a better one." Well, no, really, we want to just be where God wants us to be. God gives us what we need to do our job for him on this earth. That's why we're not instantly raptured when we accept Christ. We're here to serve him. But God puts in our lives the tools that we need to get the job done. So from greed and from envy, the sons of Laban came to Laban and saying, "Hey, look, he's taken everything." Well, you remember, as we studied last week, chapter 30, that God had put it into Jacob's heart to go back to his homeland, the land of Canaan. And Laban says, no, I've really been blessed because you've been here in my life. I'll give you whatever you want. What do you want? And he said, I'll tell you what I want. He said, all the speckled, all the off color, all the animals that are born that are weird, I'll take. And all the ones that are beautiful and all, you keep. And I likened that last week, and that's the way a lot Jesus is. God takes all of us that are spotted and blemished and things, and he brings us into his own, and the Bible says they were actually stronger than Laban's. Well, this continued on. And so Jacob's wealth began to build because a lot of these animals were being born. They had spots and stripes, and they were separated into Jacob's herd. And the ones that were beautiful, they went into Laban's, but there wasn't very many going over there. I think it was Abraham Lincoln said, God must love poor people because he made so many of them. Well, the point is this. There's always going to be more spotted and speckled than there are beautiful. The good news is God loves the spotted and the speckled. If you feel a little spotted and speckled here today, I got good news for you. God loves you, and God's going to remove and all the things that are wrong in your life and fix those things to make you his own. Now, in verse 2, it says, and Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable towards him as before. You know, gossip and lies will always taint the way somebody does. I believe this is what's wrong with our American news media. They spend overtime pumping into the American public lies. And we oftentimes see the commentators get caught in lies so bad they can't even retain them as a nightly commentator. They have to remove them. Well, the thing is, lies change the way people think about things. And Laban's sons turned the countenance of Laban against Jacob and saw that it wasn't favorable. It's funny, you can be around somebody and know you're not in their good graces anymore. You ever notice that? Some of you that have had marital spats and you think, well, that's a couple hours ago. I think it's over now. You go in and they glare at you and there's laser beams that come out of their eyes and it fries everything behind you. Well, you can tell that things are still not right there, okay? Well, that's basically what Jacob saw in Laban. He knew something isn't right. Then the Lord said to Jacob, and by the way, when your surround changes, don't feel that God doesn't love you. This is one of the things a lot of times we think. We go to work, and all of a sudden there's been some changes in our employment or whatever the case might be, and there's some changes, and now we feel God doesn't love us anymore. No, God's getting you ready for the next big move in your life. God, the old saying, Jesus loves me just as I am. That's true, but God loves you too much to leave you that way. And through the course of events in our lives, God moves us where he wants us to be, so we'll be the most effective for what God's placed us on this earth for. Remember, when you become a Christian, it's no longer about you, it's about God. And that's why we want to be the best we can be for God, because that is who God will use. Now, he says, Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. So it's interesting that God spoke to him. Now, God speaks to us in different ways. Well, how did God speak to him? Well, he had his cell phone number and just called him. No, that's not the way it works. Sometimes God speaks to us through dreams. Now, it's interesting that both Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob could hear God's voice in this way. Now, I don't know exactly all the time what God's voice is. I've heard God's voice before. If you're born again here this morning, you've heard God's voice as well. That little voice that was inside of you when you heard that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and that you could be forgiven and the invitation for you to come to Christ, you heard a voice inside of you saying, this is for you. This is for you. That was God. Okay? Because normally you wouldn't understand that. But that voice that comes from God saying that you need him, that's how we know that. Well, anyway, God spoke to Jacob and said, okay, it's time to go back home. Now, remember, God had already put it in his heart in the preceding chapter to go home. Now God is going to fulfill it. And I believe God puts things in our heart in his time in which he will fulfill it. Okay, so verse 4. Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock. Evidently, he wanted to talk to his wives concerning what he was about to do, and he wanted to get out of earshot of everybody else. And so, understanding the importance of privacy, he calls his wives out into the field, and he said to them, "I see your father's countenance, and that it's not favorable towards me as before. But the God of my father has been with me, and you know that with all my might I have served your dad. Yet your father has deceived me, changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me." Very important to remember. You belong to God. What the devil means to hurt you, God will turn around and make it a blessing for you. God is not only bigger than the things you've done wrong, but he's also bigger than the things that people want to do to you to hurt you. Remember that. Now, I can generally speak of that from experience. I have seen things that people have done in my life to hurt me, and they thought it would wipe me out. And instead, what it did is it just gave me in God another area to which to go. God is always faithful. God is bigger than the things you've done wrong, and he's bigger than the things that mean people want to do to you. Remember that. He said that he changed my wages 10 times, yet God was with me. And so he says, "And you will know that with all my might, I've served your dad. He changed my wages," verse 8, and he says this, "All the speckled shall be your wages. Then all the flocks who bore speckled," and he said thus, "the streak shall be your wages, and all the flocks that bore streaked. So the Lord has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me." In other words, the animals began to bear more and more streaked and ringed and all these speckled animals. He said, "Your father made this deal with me, that I could have all the blemished. He got all the first rate, I got the blemished." But the animals were bearing more blemished than they were regular, and now he says, "You've taken them away from me." No, that was the deal that we made. Again, there's an old saying, be careful what you sign. I believe that. I believe we need to be very careful. You know, the Bible gives us a lot of directive on contracts, whether it be in marriage, whether it be in business. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with non-believers. That means in marriage, in business, or whatever it is, friendships, be careful of the company you keep. Solomon says in the book of Proverbs that evil corrupts good manners. So if you're having trouble walking with the Lord, I would invite you, consider your friends, because if you're hanging around with a bunch of people who don't love God, they're going to be dragging you the wrong way. That's just the way it works. Because I have an old sin nature that wants to do evil. It just does. This old flesh someday is going to put on immortality and not under the curse, and we won't have a bend for sin. But until that day comes, we have to protect our heart. You need to guard your heart. And if somebody's dragging you the wrong way, they are not from God. They are from the underworld. Now you say, but they look so cute. Yeah. You don't think the devil's dumb enough to bring some one-horned rhino into your life, do you? Well, they're ugly. I know they can't be of God. The devil knows how to package. So notice, he says, God's blessed me this way. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. Verse 10. And it happened at that time, when the flocks conceived, that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked and speckled and gray spotted. And the angel of the Lord spoke to me in a dream, saying, "Arise, Jacob." He said, "Here I am." And he said, "Lift up your eyes and see the rams which leap on the flocks, which are streaked and speckled and gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you." Remember, nothing escapes God. He goes, I know Laban has been treating you very poorly. And so it is interesting that he, Jacob, who was taking care of the flocks, was divinely inspired when to let the animals breed because God told him to bless him. Now remember, God sees it all. God sees it all. And one of the things that God saw was the injustice that Laban was doing to Jacob, and God is the corrector of it. Now, it's in our old sin nature to take vengeance ourselves. Oh, even the plate. God says, you don't got to do that. Let God do that. You know, God, first of all, is a merciful God. And God's desire is not to get even with that who wronged you, but cause them to come into repentance. But God knows whether that person will or won't, and so letting God be the one who judges them is a lot better than us. Vengeance is mine, the Bible says, saith the Lord. You got somebody that's really getting under your skin? Oh, I want to give them a piece of my mind. I've learned I'm not going to give away too much of my mind. I don't know how much I got left. So I would rather have God deal with them than me deal with them, because I have found two things. One, some people have said I'm an old softy and I go too soft on them. Some people might say, well, you'd be too overbearing on them. In other words, the punishment doesn't meet the crime. So best let God be the one that does your revenge. Don't you take it upon yourself. That way that person cannot in turn blame you. See, in other words, you take revenge on somebody and they're mad, then they're mad at you. Look, I'm going to get in with them. And ooh, that's a petri dish for all kinds of foul things to start growing, like anger and murder and all those things. Don't do that. You let God be God. When you accept Christ, see, here's the thing. Most of us are taught that when you accept Christ, apple pie in the sweet by and by. Well, I like that. I do. I like the idea of heaven, okay? But there is so much more to being a Christian than just fire insurance, friends. It's that God takes care of us. You are His kids. Isn't it? I'm still overwhelmed as I look at this, because in the years that I've been a pastor, I've studied world religions. And it's really amazing to me as you study this, the relationship that the gurus and all these are trying to portray concerning the deity and us. That you've got to appease the deity. Go burn some incense sticks. You know, make a grain offering. Do these different things. Sell flowers in airports. You know, go door to door. Give all your money. Crawl up the Sistine Chapel stairs on your bare knees on broken glass. Bury yourself out in the desert where just your little head is sticking out of the sand. All of these will help give you enlightenment. Well, the one enlightenment that I can tell you is you don't want to do that again. But when you look at a relationship with a true and living God, what does God want? Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this manner, our Father. If there was nothing more than you got out of the Lord's Prayer, so commonly called, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, where he says, our Father. What was lost in the garden? Fellowship with God. That's what was lost. That's what Adam did. God said, don't eat of the tree. Satan says, eat of the tree. Who's going to be your daddy? Well, eat of the tree. Okay, you've just abandoned God. You broke fellowship with God. That's what happened. That's why we've inherited an old sin nature. That's why we need to be born again. Well, so anyway, God then wants to restore that through Jesus Christ, whereby we cry, Daddy. I like that. Religion never satisfies that. They always have it predicated upon your performance. Getting out, doing good deeds, doing this, doing that, reciting the church's mantras, you know, all this stuff, and you just might make it. You don't believe me? Next time somebody knocks on your door, finely dressed, sometimes on bicycles and sometimes not, they knock on your door. You ask them, you say, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And do you know what they'll always tell you? I've done the best I can. Well, is there anything wrong with that? Yeah, like everything, like if you didn't get good enough, it's too late to do anything about it. So when we say, I go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross for me, that he is God and he appeased through his own dear son, appeased what was necessary for me to approach him. I don't have to burn incense sticks. I don't have to feel beads. I don't have to recite mindless prayers. All I have to do is go to him, as Jesus said, our Father. Wow. Religion of the world never offers that. So understand that there's a lot more to being a Christian than just fire insurance, that you're God's property. And because you're God's property, God watches over you. And God says, I saw what Laban did to Jacob, and I'm going to make it right. So he says, lift up your eyes now and see all the flocks, the speckled, the gray-spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. And I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, where you made it a vow to me. And now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your kindred, or literally your father. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion of inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. Let me explain this. In those days, when you were to marry a girl, you gave her father a dowry for you. Basically, you were paying alimony in advance, okay? If something goes wrong with this marriage, hey, you've got a savings account that will take care of her as she gets older. They said, we know our father sold us to you. And that's true. Remember, he saw Rachel. He fell in love with her. He went to Laban. What do I have to do to have your daughter? He said, work for me for 7 years. He said, I'll do it. So 7 years labor, he paid for Rachel. Now, remember on marriage night, on wedding night, in the morning he woke up and it was the ugly duckling sister. And he goes, ah! He gets mad. He goes down, beats on Laban's door. Hey, you've deceived me. I wanted the foxy one. You gave me the ugly one. Laban goes, yeah, it's a custom in our country that the older daughter gets married before the younger daughter, so you got her first. He goes, ah. He goes, I tell you what, fulfiller week, you know, that marriage honeymoon thing, and I will float you alone for Rachel. I'll give you Rachel after the week. You work for me another 7 years. Hey, do you not know that they were bought and sold? So that 7 years worth of labor that Jacob did for Rachel and also Leah really was their money, because that was the dowry that was to come to them. And so they said to Jacob, look, has Dad just burned away all of our fortune? Well, actually he did, but there's a big spiritual application here. First one is this. Laban represents the world. Jacob represents the things of God. Friends, understand this. We have no inheritance in the world. Your inheritance is in God. Whether in that time when we stand before him or here on this earth, you're God's property and God takes care of you. Remember that. It's not just fire insurance. It's that God's anointing is upon you. Wherever you go, the rest of today, tomorrow, and the rest of your life, a little piece of heaven goes wherever you go. Because the kingdom of God, Jesus said, comes within you. Yes, someday in heaven. But where the Spirit of God reigns is where God's at. You, the Bible says, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God does not, the Bible says, dwell in buildings made with men's hands. Yeah, it's a nice box we have here. Lights, heater, air conditioning. It's a good box, okay? Good box. But God doesn't live in the box. God lives in you. The reason this building today is a holy building is because you, who have the Spirit of God living in you, made it holy.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store, or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening, and tune in next time for It's Time.